Ukraine's army says its armed forces are pushing further into the northeast Kharkiv region as it makes significant gains in a counter-offensive. Well, since early September, their advance has been fast, with Ukraine taking back in days ground that it took the Russians months to control. Well, Kyiv's forces have entered the key towns of Izium and Kupiansk, both located on rail lines. Advances have also been made by Ukraine in the south near Kherson, but at a slower pace. President Volodymyr Zelensky claims his troops have recaptured more than 2,000 square kilometers so far. Ukrainian flags are being raised in towns that have been controlled by Moscow's forces for months. The Russian defense minister says its troops are regrouping in order to bolster efforts in the Donetsk region. Well, Hoda Abdelhamid is live for us in Kharkiv. What's the latest you're hearing about the advances? And we understand that you've been in a difficult situation there in terms of a blackout. Is that right?
Yes, actually, we are in a blackout at the moment. Actually, there is power outages in five regions in the northeast and the eastern part of the country. There are also unconfirmed reports that there are power outages all the way to Odessa. But as I said, those were unconfirmed reports. Now, what we're hearing from officials is that the Russians have hit critical infrastructure. They're not telling us what or where, but certainly there is this city is in pitch black. We were actually on the streets when that happened. And as we were driving back to our location, everything was completely dark. There was not one light on. It was quite an eerie scene. As we understand it, this is happening also in Ukraine's fourth largest city, Dnipropetrovsk. It's happening, for example, in Kramatorsk in the Donetsk region, so in eastern Ukraine, in the Donbass. And it's happening also in the Sumy region. We don't know at this stage how long this will last. Officials in the various regions have also been telling people to unplug their devices, electric devices, if they don't need them. They have been telling them also to stock up on water. They say that the repairs are ongoing, but people are wondering how long that would last.
And obviously, it might be difficult from where you are, but from where you were, can you tell us anything more about this counteroffensive?
Well, the counteroffensive is ongoing. As you mentioned earlier, I mean, the Ukrainians have made this formidable advance since the beginning of the month, taking a lot of people by surprise here, many wondering how did that happen, especially that there was this sort of stalemate over the summer. There was this war of attrition between the two sides, neither side making gains, neither side losing grounds. And then all of a sudden, things turned when the Ukrainians got more weapons from their Western allies, especially laser-guided precision missiles and mobile sort of high-tech artillery units, that gave them an edge. And all of a sudden, they were able to hit the Russians behind their defensive lines and then push through their defensive lines. Now, a lot of people here would tell you, how come the Russians are just running away, leaving a lot of military hardware behind them? We've seen a lot of videos posted by the soldiers on social media as they continue their advances through the towns and villages in the northeast of the country, show all that amount of military hardware that was left behind. Now, what we don't know yet is what's happening in Izium. We know that the Ukrainian army has reached that town, a critical strategic town for the Russian. It was sort of referred to as the stronghold of the Russian army in this part of the country. We know they're there. There's video circulating on social media showing the Ukrainian flag above certain government buildings there. But we are not hearing from the government whether that city is in totally under their control or not. When that happens, it will certainly be a huge blow for the Russians, simply because Izyum is so strategic, because it sits on this hub of highways and railroads. And it's from there, really, that the Russians were supplying their troops that are carrying on this other, on the other battleground in the Donbas region. Now, the question many have is, what will happen next? What will the Russians do? People don't expect that they will, they're just pulled out, having no plan. The Russians are saying they're regrouping. So certainly a lot of questions up in the air. But if the Ukrainians manage to hold their ground, this will certainly be a turn in this war. They have the momentum at the moment. Now their challenge is to keep that momentum.
OK, Hoda, stay safe. Thanks for that update. Well, Frank Ledwidge is a senior lecturer in military strategy and law at the University of Portsmouth. He joins us from Oxford. Good to have you with us. So, from your experience looking at these strategies, is this a significant military recapturing, as Ukrainians are saying?
Well, Kerry, yes, it is. This is a strategic victory for the Ukrainians of a similar significance, and perhaps probably greater significance, actually, than their defeat of the Russians in Kiev in March. It's strategic for a couple of reasons. First of all, it demonstrates at the highest levels to the international community, to perhaps a wavering international community and a doubting community, that the Ukrainians can impose serious losses on the Russians. And as Hoda said there, it is a turning point in handing or demonstrating Ukrainian initiative. But it's also a demonstration of their acumen, of their skills in combined arms warfare, in bringing all the gear and kit and training that they've had over the last few months, and in fact years, all together now to take back an area of land far greater than the Russians have taken since April. It's very significant, and it demonstrates Ukraine's capabilities in deception, it's an intelligence coup, and it's a remarkable display of Russian ineptitude, particularly in the military intelligence role.
The Russians are suggesting it's simply a strategic withdrawal of some kind. Is there any merit to that?
The word that is appropriate here is rout. It's a headlong retreat. There is no question of the Russians conducting anytime soon any form of counterattack. And the reason, Kerry, for that is that their lines are so thinly held. And that's because Ukraine has been telegraphing for a long time a major offensive in the south, which is, let's not forget, going on and going successfully for the Ukrainians around the important city of Kherson. It's quite far to the west. Now, as that's going on, the Russians redeployed some of their very limited and depleted forces over there, leaving that eastern front depleted. So the Russians are in headlong retreat. I have no doubt at all that serious questions are being asked in Moscow and in the various headquarters. I have no doubt at all that heads will roll quite soon. The Russians are in a real mess.
Strategically, then, how much does the sighting of something like the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant play in the minds of both sides?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it also plays into what Hoda was talking about there, about the power cuts that have been imposed, perhaps rather petulantly, by some Russian airstrikes and missile strikes today. The issue of Zaporizhia, and particularly the nuclear power station, is strategic. It plays on Ukrainian fears going right back to Chernobyl in the early 80s, and those fears are still there. It unsettles the people, and of course it there's an abiding sense of fear in that respect. But let's not forget that over the last week, the Ukrainian people have had news of nothing but victory. That morale is generally high, and this kind of activity of blackouts or threats, irresponsible threats to nuclear power stations, that isn't going to derail that.
Frank Ledwidge, we very much appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Kerry.